Major funding for Fresh Air is provided by this and other NPR member stations and by Barnes & Noble, publishers of Barnes & Noble Classics, enduring works of literature in newly annotated editions, available at Barnes & Noble stores and online at bn.com, and from Aveda, an earth-conscious beauty company committed to preserving natural resources and finding more sustainable ways of doing business. Information available at aveda.com.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. I bet you can name this song in four notes. Did you get it? That's the theme to The Pink Panther, which was released 40 years ago. The Pink Panther movies will be released next week on DVD. The theme music was composed by Henry Mancini, who died 10 years ago. He would have been 80 this month. Several new tribute CDs have been released for the occasion: The Pink Panther's Penthouse Party, The Ultimate Pink Panther, and The Ultimate Mancini. Even the post office is getting into the act with a commemorative stamp that will be issued this month. Mancini wrote the songs Moon River and The Days of Wine and Roses, as well as the themes for the film Charade and Hatari and the TV series Mr. Lucky and Peter Gunn. We're going to join in the Mancini tribute and listen back to a 1987 interview with him.
I'd like to go back to the beginning of your career in Hollywood. You started off in the early 1950s at Universal, and I guess you were on contract there, and from the way I understand it, you did about 100 films. One of those films was Touch of Evil, which is directed by Orson Welles, one of the real great films. Did you do a lot of schlock also?
Well, it was mostly schlock.
Was it?
It was mostly, we had everything there. I did, well, let me put it this way. I was there 6 years, and Universal, during that time, made around 50 pictures a year. So that number of 100 is quite under what the real figure would be. But we had all kinds of stuff. Westerns, these old Rory Calhoun Westerns. Ma and Pa Kettle, Francis the Mule, Bonzo the Ape, stuff like that. In addition, well, I got about two or three good pictures while I was there. The Glenn Miller story was another one.
Did you have to learn all the Hollywood cliches of the period?
Yeah, that was the best part. What do you mean of the period? They're still around. there's no period. I did. I've said that in the past. Learning the cliches was most fun of all, just to know that you could do what the big boys were doing at the time. But that's true. And in doing that, you get that all out of your system. You have attacks of it once in a while sometimes.
Can you describe some of the cliches that you had to learn? Like, was there a certain kind of sound to go for to bring tears to people's eyes, and something else that you'd have to use for a Rory Calhoun Western?
Yeah, well, it was the day of the overstated villain and overstated, I would say, you know, because every time my boss during those years was Joe Gershenson, who was a marvelous man and very astute dramatically, he was a street guy from New York, and he had a very succinct way. He called it, you know, when you have like the villain appears, he'd say, "I want a jig-a-jig there," and a jig-a-jig was something like that, you know. And then of course the outdoor themes, and it was fun. I really got a kick out of it.
Can you use those cliches now?
If called for, yeah, it depends. You have to be very careful, though. You know, people have to know you have your tongue in your cheek, or else they say, "What's that old fogey doing up there?" You know.
My guest is composer Henry Mancini. Now, the theme that you wrote that really made you famous to everybody in America was the theme from Peter Gunn, which was the TV detective show that started in, I think it was 1958. And
right.
he was, I guess, one of the first really cool private eyes on television. It was a jazz theme. Why did you decide to go with a jazz theme for the show?
Well, Blake Edwards, you know, was the writer, producer, director of that series. And he set up a club. I don't know whether some of the younger people in the audience have seen the show recently. It's still on. It's still going on.
Yeah, in reruns, yeah. You're talking about the club Mothers, the nightclub.
Mothers, yes. Mothers, which was very risque at the time to call the place Mothers, you know. And it was a jazz club. And so I took the cue from that. And it just seemed a very natural thing to do. And Blake didn't really point me in any direction. He just said, here, do it. And that's what came out. And at the time, you remember, that was a period of the West Coast cool jazz. And we had all the great guys out here of that school who were playing, you know, among them Larry Bunker, Shelly Mann. We had a marvelous band on that show. So the jazz spilled over into the scoring. And I think it worked pretty well.
Could I ask you to describe what was in your mind when you wrote the score, the sound that you were going for?
Well, first of all, you have to separate the theme from the score. If you notice, the theme has really nothing to do with jazz. The theme I wrote because I said, now, Peter Gunn, what am I going to do here? I have to have something that's going to get their attention right away. And this ostinato bass came in, you know, and it sounded very powerful in the low, in with the guitar and the bass and the piano playing, boom, 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 boom. And that was another thing. That was, I think, the secret of the success of that piece was the fact that it was 8 to the bar, which indicated rock and roll. And as you know, there have been many records. Jimi Hendrix recorded it. The Art of Noise did it last year. And all along the way, there have been many, many recordings by the rock people. It's a punk favorite, too.
I know. Well, yeah. I'm going to play your recording of it from one album that you made of the theme. And this is Henry Mancini's theme from Peter Gunn. No, a friend of mine who used to watch Peter Gunn all the time, still does on reruns, says that he grew up always wanting to be followed around by a walking bass line like Peter Gunn was.
Yeah, well, you know something, the walking bass in television anyhow, or in scoring, is a cliche of that period, you know. But at that time, it hadn't been used that much, and it's the greatest thing for sustaining any kind of a line or an emotion. You do it slow, it has another effect. You do it fast, and you get very exciting music from it. I think that was the key, that opening bass line, yeah, now that I think about it.
You know, TV themes were almost like folk music for people who grew up in the 1950s. It was the soundtrack for your life, in a way, and you heard the same song over week after week at the same time. So I think you really profoundly influenced a lot of people who grew up in the 1950s.
Yes, thank you.
When you wrote the Pink Panther theme, did you intend that as almost a parody of the Peter Gunn theme?
No. It had nothing to do. It was a different kind of... in fact, the Pink Panther was much more jazz than Peter Gunn. It had a different feeling to it, of course, but it was just a theme that I had written for the David Niven character, the Phantom, you know, in the play, in the movie. And it just happened. I had no idea when I wrote that theme, which I wrote very quickly, by the way. It just came out. It was like a rush. But I had written that for David Niven, who played the Phantom. And when Blake told me he was going to have a cartoon, animated feature, not feature, animated cartoon at the beginning, I said, well, gee, I said to myself, well, I've already written that. So I just adapted it and made it fit in with all of the things that they did on the screen.
I just want to play a little taste of the theme that you wrote for the Pink Panther. That you're one of the composers who really helped forge that link between crime stories and jazz themes. And then there was a period, I think, where jazz was used much less, on television especially, for crime themes and for detective themes.
Yeah. Well, in movies, you know, jazz had been used mostly, not strangely enough, it's sadly enough, pictures that had sleazy backgrounds or had dope or, you know, had drinking or something of that sort. It was always attached to that. It had that stigma to it. And I was happy at Peter Gunn that I was able to inject some humor, which, of course, you know, jazz can be very humorous if used in the right way.
I want to thank you very much for talking with us about your work.
Well, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
The late Henry Mancini, recorded in 1987. He died in 1994. He would have been 80 this month. Several new tribute CDs have just been released, The Ultimate Mancini, The Ultimate Pink Panther, and The Pink Panther's Penthouse Party. The Pink Panther movies will be released on DVD next week. The Mancini postage stamp will be issued April 13th.